having fun.
Sports Talk in the Burr, coming at you live from Army Radio, your campus, your voice. We had an interesting conversation beforehand today. By interesting, I mean the dumbest thing that Ian,
I think. It's a great investment.
No. It was probably the worst idea I've ever heard you come up with before. The worst thing you've ever said, hands down. If there was something that I would never, ever think that Ian would say, it was paying $24 for a haircut. Oh, wait. What do you get? A scalp massage?
I mean, look at that hair.
And a back massage.
How is that worth $24 to you?
I don't know. I find it very relaxing. I don't know. But if you don't get the MVP that includes the back massage, it's $21 and it's the triple play.
I like my
hair wash, but they, if you just get the precision haircut, that's $16, which is very reasonable nowadays. You don't get your hair wash, and I like my hair wash after I get a haircut.
You know what I do to get my haircut? I go down to my local place. They do whatever I ask them to do for $15.
Do you get a scalp massage?
You know what? If I ask them to, they're probably like, sure.
with massaging shampoo.
Ian, you're a princess.
I have never paid for.
And you get to watch. Do you get to watch sports when you're at your haircut? No. At sports clubs, there's a big, large flat screen TV in front of you.
I really think you're throwing darts at this point. You're trying to make it sound.
It's
like
all facts.
I did not pay for a haircut.
Guys
until
love
this summer,
place.
And that's because my mom offered to pay for my haircut. And I got an Indians hat the same day, so that really kind of defeated the purpose. But
I mean, it would be different if you had, like, long hair, but you don't.
My hair is thick, and I get it cut quite often, and I need that type of haircut.
I wish I could see Ian's hair right now. Like, it would just make it so much better.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, it's sports-related. It's sports clips.
Sports clips. We had a lot of stuff happening this past weekend, and this past week in general. The Pirates lost. The Cubs won. Arrieta's good. Pirates are not, apparently. The Steelers won behind Mike Vick and Le'Veon Bell. And the Penguins are off to a very, 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 very bad start. It's only two games, but it was still a very, 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 very bad start. One goal in two games, not the best of things coming from a team touted to...
Struggles all around Pittsburgh.
Yeah, struggles all around. So let's start, I guess, with the Pirates real fast. They lost 4-0 in the wild card game. Interesting fact, they haven't scored a run in the playoffs since 2013 game 5 NLDS against the Cardinals. That's some food for thought. They haven't scored in the NL wild card game since the seventh or eighth inning of the 2013 wild card game. So I think what we have to ask now is, what happened? Can we say now that the Pirates are afraid of the big game? Because I think if we look back and we look at all of the things that happened this year, aside from the couple Sunday night baseball games where they came back and won in extras against the Cardinals, the Pirates could not come up clutch when they needed to in those high leverage situations in the biggest games. And the wild card game was no exception. They had the bases loaded in the fifth inning or the seventh maybe?
I think it was the seventh inning.
Yeah, the seventh inning, and they had the bases loaded with one out, Starling Marte up to bat. At that point, before that had happened, there were so many opportunities that they had, but Jake Arrieta looked like he was getting the majority of the borderline calls. If not all of the borderline calls, while Gerrit Cole was not throwing his A-plus stuff. It was C-minus at best, and it showed when he gave up those four runs. Can we say now that the Pirates don't come up big in clutch situations after seeing how Marte grounded into the inning-ending double play, the first pitch that Arrieta threw?
Well, it's a confidence issue they have. I mean, they come into these games. You're a 95-win team. How do you not think that you can go and win this game? You
98-win team.
98-win team. My mistake. Even worse.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things where I know you didn't get the division, but this is something that happens every year, or seems to happen every year now, is you get there and we just kind of crap out in the playoffs. And, yeah, I mean, you have to think that they're scared of the big game because they haven't been able to do anything.
I kind of agree with Sam. It is looking like they're a little scared in that situation, but this year looked like to be their toughest situation that they faced with the hottest pitcher in all of baseball in how many years. So facing Arrieta, he goes for a complete game shutout. That's tough enough. And you have you're the second best record in baseball, and you're playing the team with the third best record in baseball. So there again, you're playing a tough team. A wild card team that really shouldn't be in the wild card. Both of those teams should be waiting to see who they play, in the NLDS. And then Chicago goes out and beats St. Louis. So it's just, for me to say it's a confidence issue, maybe a little bit, definitely. With Arrieta on the mound, that was definitely intimidating. But again, third year in a row now losing in the wild card game, I believe. Yeah, I think they came in a little timid, but probably the toughest contest so far in the wild card game.
They didn't do what I said they had to do, which was get to Arrieta early. They didn't get the Bumgarner early last year in 2014, but they did get the Johnny Cueto early in 2013, and we know that result. Yes, the fans helped with that too, but Cueto was top five pitcher at that time, and we got him out fourth inning, I think, fourth or fifth. We made him look bad, and now we have Bumgarner and an Arrieta, but we didn't get them early, and we let them dominate.
There was something special about that, Cole, about the Cueto and the Reds thing, though.
Probably first time in playoffs in 20 years. It's right. Something to do with it.
Right. No, but not just that. It's the fact that the Reds came in losing, I think, seven of nine.
And that was their fourth straight loss against
us. Yeah, and
us.
That was – we had a series before that. The Pirates had won three consecutive games against them.
And the Reds were definitely, like, out of energy at that point. Like, you knew. Like, you saw, like, the game. They were defeated. Their season was over.
And yeah, like and it also helped that Francisco Liriano pitched a clean first frame. I think if that would have happened, if Gerrit Cole would have came out and throwing his A plus stuff, we might have been talking about a game four Pirates Cardinals in St. Louis right now instead of in Pittsburgh right now instead of the Cubs. On a side note, it's hard to say that that Jake Arrieta had the only say in this, because you saw what the Cubs or what the Cardinals rather did to Jake Arrieta the other day in Game 3. They got to him very hard. Jake Arrieta gave up 5 runs. There was the most runs he's given up in, I think, since April maybe, and the Cardinals just came out swinging. So that's why I think that the Pirates were afraid of Jake Arrieta after he had dominated them twice in the previous 2 weeks leading up to the wild card game. They were afraid of facing Jake Arrieta. They were really timid early on. And even though they mounted a little bit of a comeback later in the game, it was too little too late. At that point, Cole had already given up the damage. The damage had been done, and they weren't going to score 4 runs against a guy like that. And the other side note I wanted to say was that the Cubs have just clinched the NLDS and are moving on to the NLCS. Who would have thunk it that the St. Louis Cardinals would have been out
this
early? My
conspiracy's getting closer and closer. Back to the future.
Yeah, but Zach had his own conspiracy, too. I'm a little bit more towards that one than yours, like not to like take you down a notch. But
my conspiracy is definitely more more viable than yours. Yours was made by Steven Spielberg. Mine was created by the figureheads in Major League Baseball.
Where's Marty McFly? I'm looking for him, all I'm saying. Hoverboards?
Hey, we're getting closer. We searched that earlier.
They're it's called hoverboards.
Hoverboards are getting closer to existing.
They're on wheels,
in the world,
though. It's on wheels.
But they're called hoverboards.
But the thing is, 3 days from now, we are supposed to all be driving flying cars. And there are supposed to be shops that could transform your car, your regular car, into a flying car.
It's
that
also,
hasn't happened yet.
It's still going to look like the 1980s, too, though.
Yeah,
so.
And
we still have 3 days.
And you have a bunch of 1980s antique stores, which doesn't which do not exist.
True.
But, yeah. That's – I don't know if everyone knew my conspiracy. Did I think so.
I don't think we ever got to it.
I don't think you got on air with
it.
Now.
All right. Well, then I'll say that right now. I said – Monday night, actually, I think it was last Tuesday. I just didn't want to. Yeah, right. Or no, it was Monday.
It was Tuesday.
Yeah, it was during the show.
We were watching.
You said it before I got here.
Yeah, we were watching the AL wild card game, and I said if the Yankees win, the Pirates would win, and if the Astros won, the Cubs would win. And lo and behold, both of them were very true. And I knew that this would happen. The reason why I went on the air and predicted that the Pirates would lose 2-0 was because the Chicago Cubs have not won a World Series since 1907. Not everyone knows that. They're the most suffering fan base. The curse of the black cat. The curse of all this stuff. The curse of Steve Bartman. The goat. All this stuff happened to the Chicago Cubs. They have such a huge market and it's such a national fan base that if the Yankees lost, which they did, that would create and if the Pirates would win, that would create no big market teams left to play for the World Series left in the playoffs. So
but I think your conspiracy only works if the Astros win.
It's why?
Because you said the world would make for a better World Series.
Yeah.
Well, we're only a tour to the CS games, and the Astros still have to win one more game against the Royals, and the Royals looked good in the comeback last night.
The point is that there is still a big market team left. That is the point. Like the Cubs are now in the championship series with either the Dodgers or the Mets. Mm-hmm.
It'll be the Mets.
Yeah, right. So they couldn't take the chance of the Pirates and the Mets. Good God, that would not be good for ratings. And the fact that the Royals and these AL teams have smaller market teams also.
Yeah, Kansas City.
The Major League Baseball higher-ups could not allow.
What do we want, an All-Missouri World Series? Kansas City, St. Louis? Oh, my goodness.
No. The Major League one percenters, the guys who really pull the strings, they couldn't handle having a Pirates-Royals World Series. That would not be good. No one would – not as many people would watch it around the country as it would be if the Cubs were in the World Series. If the Cubs are playing in the World Series, every sports fan is tuning in every single game.
Well, I think it's just because they haven't been there in
but they're still a big
market,
like Chicago.
Yeah, that factors into it, no doubt. The Pirates are old news at this point because 2013.
They're not the bad team that makes the playoffs. It's Cubs that are the bad team that makes the playoffs now, and they're the, you know, like the Cinderella story.
Yeah, that's what the Pirates were in 2013. They finally made it over the hump. And there was that big Cueto thing with the wild card game, and unfortunately they didn't go anywhere after that. They lost in five, but that's where the Cubs are now. And the Major League Baseball could not let the Pirates take that away from them. They needed that story. They needed the Cubs trying to push for the World Series for them to get better ratings. And that.
I see what you're saying. But
you know what? I 75% believe
like,
that. I don't 100% believe in my own.
Because I don't think you would have had like Kansas City versus San Francisco in a World Series last year because – San Francisco is definitely a bigger market than Kansas City, but Kansas City is a small market, hadn't been there in a while. San Francisco is definitely not as big as an L.A. or a New York, or even the Nationals made the playoffs last year and actually lost to the Giants in the NLDS. So if you were to have one of those teams, I could see where it may be looking a little fishy, but to have Kansas City in there, to have – now Cleveland made the playoffs a couple years ago, has been on the verge of it, have Pittsburgh kind of making the playoffs consistently a couple years ago, Cincinnati getting in. Baseball playoff or teams that don't have a big market making it almost consistently now, instead of now the New Yorks, Boston's struggle this year. So I don't know if I'm buying it, but I understand what you're saying. It definitely does look a little fishy.
The point that we even have to talk about this speaks to the fact that the wild card system is not working and it needs to change.
Yeah, I definitely don't like the wild card system. One game is not enough.
Right. After 162 games, you're telling these guys, okay, you have one game. Win it or go home. Good luck next season. Good luck preparing yourselves for six more months of baseball. And I don't think that is not fair to the fan base. It's not fair to the team. That is not fair to anyone.
No, because you put 98 games on then one game, and that's unfair in my opinion.
I think it should go back to the one wild card team. All it is gives MLB the chance to make more money.
Exactly, and. Why not get a three-game series
and everything? Yeah, or three. Or
and I understand that might cut into the NBA season a little bit more, which is kind of what they're worried about because they'll lose coverage because of the NBA.
They're also worried about –
Or cut the season down.
They're never going to do that.
They're never
going to
do that because of money.
They will never cut the Major League Baseball season from 162.
The only reason they would is to implement a five – maybe change the wild card series to a five-game series and then have a seven-game series NL and ALDS. Yeah. But that's still – you'd almost want to add six teams and have the two byes like the NFL. But then that's sitting teams out too long that get the bye. So
I saw someone – I think it was on Twitter today – tweeted, cut the season down to 120 games, which is a lot
considering 162. Because that's taking 21 home games away then.
And then – Seven game series the whole playoffs. So the wild card and eight teams. So an 18 playoff.
And also
so you would so the wild card game would be seven games.
Oh my goodness.
And that could cut ratings down too, because then people aren't gonna tune in to the first couple no one's gonna care about a wild card game and
still,
then
the season would be cut by.
I've never been a fan of the NBA playoffs because I think it's too long, but a lot of people disagree with me on that.
I think hockey's long too. So
it's just it lasts so long, and MLB does a good job of kind of getting it all in a month.
True.
Well, they're going to go in October. No, they're going to go in November this year.
But they went into a little bit into October. Yeah. So the MLB does a good job of getting it all in a month span. But that's also because they can play games back-to-back days.
The NHL takes 2 days off in the playoffs, and that's how it is typically during the whole season. When in baseball, you get a break sometimes every 2 weeks, every 10 days. In the playoffs, you get a break every two games in the playoffs, and that's like special to them because they don't really see that.
In the NBA, sometimes you'll get 3 days off. Sometimes you'll play a back-to-back. But really, when it comes down to the playoffs, you're playing – you get a day off in between games, and then whenever you're traveling,
travel
you get
days
two. You get two. But really, you're playing as consistent as you were in the regular season, or maybe even more so. So, and I think it lasts too long, but a lot of people disagree with me on that. And NBA ratings are going up, so they won't have a problem with – they would never cut – the playoffs there, but that's why they went to seven games for the first series.
Well, I think that the major leagues, the MLB is different because they're special because it is definitely the least strenuous of any sport, and that's why football is once a week, because it is ridiculously physical and draining. Baseball, the only bad part about baseball is that you only have so many pitchers, and those pitchers get tired very fast. So that's why they have 5 days rest. That's why you have five starters. That's why you have a bunch of relievers.
And that's why you
see this long schedule, because you need these guys to be able to pitch a bunch of times. And because if you shorten the schedule, you'd only get starters probably 15 starts. As opposed to 25. And I don't think the MLB would want that. I don't think the pitchers would want that. They say they want their season to be stretched out even more probably than people would think. And I don't think
MLB would never cut their season.
No.
I would like to see at least a 3-game playoff wild card series, which I think eventually you will, mainly because of this. This year could be used as a basis for that because you have two talented teams in a wild card that could sell. I mean, that could sell a lot of tickets, a lot of just overall, it could create a lot of revenue for a 3-game series against St. Louis and Pittsburgh. Despite Pittsburgh not being a big market, you still have Chicago in that. And I guess that would create – you go into a 5-game series, and it's not expanding the season all that much either.
I like the idea of expanding the divisions into how kind of how the NHL did it, which they have less divisions, but that you still keep the same rivalries. And I think that's what people are afraid of, changing the divisions or getting rid of the divisions altogether, because they think that the Cubs and Pirates won't play each other that often. The Cardinals and Pirates won't play each other that often. Pirates and Reds, all these like rivalries that fans want to see and are used to seeing, they won't happen, but they will. The scheduling gurus in the MLB will be able to see which teams generally get better ratings when they play a specific team, and they'll get them that they'll get them those games. And then when the season comes to an end, you get rid of the division winners and the wild cards, and you just say, all right, whoever won the most games, that's the one seed, and whoever won the second most games is the two seed. 3-3, 4-4, 5-5, and then you go down to the second, the six, and then the six plays one, five plays two, and then four plays three. That's how they should do it. There's nothing that tells me that couldn't work.
Here's the one reason it won't work, and that's because you want those teams that are having a poor record that year to still think they can win a division and make the playoffs. The more teams that they can get involved and that fans think will make the playoffs, you're going to get more people watching. Because, like, the Boston Red Sox, you know how many fans probably stopped watching halfway through the year? They were out, even with a big fan base. I mean, that's the whole motivation behind divisions in the first place.
Very true.
And I definitely think that during the owners' meetings in the off season, discussion will happen. Yeah. Nothing will come about it. Like, yeah, it would just – I think it would – obviously, you're going to get some owners. I don't think the Pirates, because I don't think Nutting will ever say anything, because he would be the one that would benefit from it most. Could have been a division winner in most divisions, not – you know, we know the whole story. But I think it was just get the ball rolling, get the minds working a little bit, thinking about it. And then in 2 to 3 years, I think we'll see some change.
And baseball is starting to implement certain things that's helping the game evolve a little bit. They added replay recently.
And they're trying to get the games down to 2 hours, which I think you're not going to be able to maybe get it down to three hours. Because
it goes around 3 hours now. It averages, I think, around that.
Because they have the in-between innings clock.
And they're starting to implement the pitching clock a little bit more.
Yeah.
So I think you will eventually see it. It'll take it definitely at least 2 years. But I hope they do. I really would like to see a 3-game series.
Well, the moral of the story is, before we go to a break, that the Pirates just need to win the division next year. That's plain and simple.
That'd make it so much easier.
Win the division, none of this happens.
We wouldn't
none
be having this discussion.
This discussion isn't happening. You could probably say maybe the Cubs beat the Pirates in the divisional series, but we don't have to talk about this team should have gotten in, or this team should have gotten to play a home game, or this should have been a 3-game series. Win the division, none of this happens. Plain and simple. Also, the number one goal in going into business for all the owners is to make money. So no matter – we can talk about the fairness for the teams all we want, but when it comes down to it, they're going to do what's best for their pockets, and that's about it. When we come back on Sports Talk in the Berg, we'll dive into the Monday Night Thriller. Didn't seem that way initially last night against the Chargers. Mike Vick and Le'Veon Bell leading the Pittsburgh over San Diego Monday Night Football. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. Sports Talk in the Berg, Army Radio, your campus, your voice.
Hi, this is Michael DeLauro, Director of the Academic Media Center at Robert Morris University. You're listening to Army Radio, your campus, your voice.
So don't you dare look back, just keep your eyes on me. in the strangest place, way in the back of my was mine. I had a one way ticket to reach where the demons go, where the wind don't change and nothing in the ground can ever grow. No hope, just lies and you taught to cry in your pillow. But I survived. I took what you gave, but you never noticed that I was in vain. I knew what I wanted, I went on and got it. Did all the things that you said that I wouldn't. I told you that I would never be forgotten. I know this, but you, I'm still breathing. I'm still breathing. I'm still breathing. I'm still breathing. I'm alive.
Just for the record, I did not physically select that song.
Yeah, I wanted to know what was that.
It cut. Listen, I type today's pop hits clean lyrics, and that's what comes.
You
up.
Sure?
Yep.
All right.
But regardless, this is Sports Talk in the Bergen Army Radio, your campus, your voice. That Steeler game last night, it didn't look pretty, but last 2 minutes was very exciting.
A win's a win.
Exactly. 3-2 now.
Let's talk about, first of all, how well the defense played, because I think that is a very underestimated part of the team. Because when Ben Roethlisberger went down, I mean, the first couple of games were like, oh man, the defense is as bad as ever since it's been at its high point. It's just been going downhill. Everyone can agree.
Yeah.
And everyone thought, oh man, Ben Roethlisberger's going down. The defense doesn't look good. The offense has Mike Vick. We're in trouble. But now they've rattled off two straight performances of less than 20 points.
I think the defense.
Well 24 and under, but.
I think they know that they kind of have to step up. You know, the game's not going to be pretty offensively with Vic still learning. He's getting there, but he's still learning. So I think the defense and the pressure is on them and on Keith Butler that he needs to shine right now. When one part of your team goes down, you got to pick them up.
The thing that really
the offense lost, they went down, so they defense needs to pick them up.
The thing that really stands out to me is the young players that are really stepping up. You saw guys, Bud Dupree, you know, our rookie, he made a sack last night. Jarvis Jones had a sack last night. Jarvis Jones had a forced fumble.
Good to know he's playing.
They were talking about Jarvis Jones, you know, really never made those big flashy plays that you know, a first-round draft pick like him should have done, and he's finally starting to do that. You got guys like Stephon Tuohy, who we got drafted last year. He's a second-round pick. He's leading the team in sacks right now. You're seeing these guys step up like they needed to, that they didn't do last year. Cameron Hayward has finally come to his full potential. He's a leader on that team. He's a captain. And, you know, of course, big old James Harrison's there. I think that veteran leadership really helps round it. Along with the secondary, though, you got guys like Cockrell, Mitchell, Brandon Boykin, guys who really they weren't there last year, and they're stepping it up and they're making those plays. I mean, the pick six last night, that kept us in the game. That brought the energy back, because up till then, the offense just wasn't moving the ball, and the defense was doing its job, but like, just there was no energy. And I felt like after that pick six, that's when you found Pittsburgh found its energy, and they were scoring the ball and things were moving around. And that's exactly what they needed from their defense.
No, and I agree. Watching the preseason, which I'm not a big believer in watching preseason, but it didn't look good. It looked horrendous at times. And they've had guys step up that are young. Like you said, Hayward, Jones, Bud Dupree looked iffy. Now he's coming into his potential. And you have Shazier out, and I think you had Cortez Allen out last night too.
Yep.
So two players right there that are out, and you have Antonio Gates coming back who played a pretty good game. But Phillip Rivers has been known to put up some numbers at times, and in San Diego you held them to 20 points. In my opinion, that's impressive. That really shows the toughness of this defense when they need to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the front, it all starts with the front seven. There were so many times last night that I saw that there was blown coverages in the secondary, but because of the push that the defensive front got, Rivers was not able to step up, or he wasn't able to finish his throw. And in some cases, that is what prevented some scoring drives for the Chargers, and that was something that I did not think was going to happen this season. And the fact that it has and it continues to progress that way, I don't think there isn't anything that the Steelers can't do once Roethlisberger gets healthy again and comes back, because the only thing that was hindering the team last night was their offensive production from the first quarter to about halfway through the fourth quarter. They weren't doing anything on offense, and then all of a sudden, pick six, Vic throws that 72-yard bomb, and then drive down the field with that 2-minute drive, and then to win the game.
The one riddle that the Pittsburgh Steelers defense hasn't been able to solve so far, though, is covering tight ends. You know, we saw that week one with Rob Gronkowski with 3 touchdowns, and you saw that last night with Antonio Gates, you know, his first game back, and he catches 2 touchdowns. And I know Antonio Gates is a great tight end, but it just, I mean, he was getting wide open. You know, they hit those touch passes in the back of the end zone, and the corner didn't have a chance to stop it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something that if they want to be a strong playoff team, that's going to be something they have to address, and it's a long season. And besides that, they look good, but that's going to be something that teams are going to look to now. You're going to see the tight end play get more of a focus.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the secondary is definitely the weakest point of this team by far, even with Vic at the helm. But I did see this video on ESPN, and I just want to play it real fast. So this is about the Steelers' chances on catching the Bengals.
Stephen A., can your Steelers catch the Bengals?
Skip Bayless, Molly. No, they cannot. I don't think my Steelers can catch the Bengals because, you know, being 2 games back, I think they'll split with Cincinnati this year. I don't think they'll lose both games to Cincinnati, but I don't think they'll win both games. And then I think about the Steelers' hellacious schedule. I think their only shot is that they've got a 3-game home stretch coming up after they play Arizona, I believe, where they've got Cincinnati, Oakland, and Cleveland at home in Pittsburgh. They've got to win all of those games. But look at the rest of their schedule. I mean, we're talking about the bye week in week 11. Then you're at the Seahawks. You're home against the Colts. You're at the Bengals. You're home against the Broncos. And then you close out the season at Baltimore and at Cleveland, which, by the way, are going to be 2 tough games.
There is no way they're going to catch the Bengals. And this is no disrespect to Michael Vick, who had such a great close to that game last night. But I don't think they can teeter through the next two games with Michael Vick as the quarterback because he's going to hit and miss and hit and miss. I don't think they can beat Arizona with Michael Vick. I don't think they can win at Kansas City with Michael Vick. That's just me. I do think Ben could win those games. And from just watching Ben throw before the game last night, again, they said he's never worn a knee brace before, but I will bet you if it were left up to Ben, which it probably will not be, but if it were left up to Ben watching him throw last night, I'll bet you he wants to play against Arizona. If Ben could come back and stay upright, obviously, I think they could go on a run here and win five in a row.
So that was ESPN's first take, Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless. Reactions?
I mean, I think he's 100% right. I don't think we're going to catch the Bengals. I don't think that's something that the Steelers should be thinking about right now. The NFL playoffs, you know, if we can go back to what we talked about earlier, are a lot different than the Major League Baseball playoffs. You know, just because you win a division doesn't necessarily mean you get a bye. So the Steelers should really be thinking right now, you know, play the best you can, be a playoff team. You know, they're trying to just maintain until Ben Roethlisberger gets back. And I think they're right. I think if Roethlisberger can get healthy, you know, you go into that schedule, you can beat Oakland, you can beat a Cleveland. But, I mean, teams like Denver and Seattle, I mean, Seattle hasn't looked up to their full potential, and Peyton Manning hasn't looked great. I think that the Steelers just have to focus on playing their game, and I think they'll be a playoff team.
Yeah, I don't agree they'll catch the Bengals, but right now they're tied with Buffalo for that sixth spot in the playoffs. And like you said, Denver hasn't – I mean, they're 5-0, but they haven't looked good. Peyton Manning, for the first time since rookie year, has thrown more interceptions than touchdowns to this point in the season, I think 6-7 ratio.
Yep.
And Cincinnati just looked tough at times. They beat Seattle in overtime. And then you have New England, who's just been on a tear. But you have the Jets right now in the playoffs. You have Indianapolis, who's iffy, but right now they're hanging on to that division. And really, if you can win games that are given to you, like Cleveland at home, like Oakland at home, Cincinnati, I think they'll split with. I think it'll be a home-and-home series. I think they'll win at home and lose away. And then Baltimore late in the season, if you can get a kind of a revenge game on them, then you're really sitting in a good spot. I think they're doing a very good job right now, going 1-1. Should have been 2-0, but 1-1 right now with Vic. As soon as Ben Roethlisberger comes back, that gives them shots against Seattle. That gives them shots against Indianapolis. That gives them shots against Cincinnati away. So for them to make the playoffs, I think it's very capable. But to catch Cincinnati, who's 5-0 right now, they would have to gain. They'd have to sweep Cincinnati and then hope for Cincinnati to lose a couple that they should win.
It's going to have to be a sweep against Cincinnati. I don't think they're going to do it. I think Cincy's going to take the game in Cincy. But the Steelers have to win, and I'm not real convinced that they can do that with Ben on the sidelines. Obviously, he's going to try to get back as soon as possible, but he's going to go as fast as his knee lets him, his leg lets him, and the doctors let him too. And I do think he's going to be out they said 4-6. I think he's going to be out at least six the full time or more because he's – gets injured quite often. They're going to make sure.
He was out there throwing.
He was out pregame throwing. He didn't have a crutch. He just had the knee brace on, and that's only 2 weeks removed from the injury.
Was he moving around, though?
Actually was. I mean, he wasn't.
And then the next thing is throw a lineman at him or throw a linebacker, see if that has something to do with it. And I think, yeah, maybe he can come back quicker, but
I think you have a good point because, first off, he has gotten hurt a lot. So even if he gets to 4 weeks and he's moving around fine, he's feeling good, you're right. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. How is he going to get hit? And so do you want to play it safe? Do you want to get those two more weeks just because?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it all depends because it won't be up to Roethlisberger because if you gave the decision to Roethlisberger,
he'll be back this week.
Yeah, he'd be playing in Arizona.
So let's just throw the scenario out there. What happens if Roethlisberger comes back healthy this week to play against Arizona? What happens then? What are their chances then?
Their chances of, so like, let's say he's fully healthy.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't going to happen, but let's just.
Oh, we win.
Scenario.
Against Arizona?
Yeah.
I think it's tough.
That's a tough game. That's a toss-up game. I think they lose if they have Vic in it. But with Roethlisberger fully healthy, which isn't really a scenario this week, but if he was, then I definitely, it's a toss-up game. I really, Arizona's tough all the way around, but so far the Steelers defense has stepped up. Antonio Brown with Ben Roethlisberger's lethal. That would be in a great game to watch.
Yep.
Overall. So with Roethlisberger fully healthy, that I could very, it'd be very likely for a win. I wouldn't be unheard of, I guess.
I could see the Steelers going 12-4 if Roethlisberger came back healthy.
I mean, just think about it this way. First of all, Antonio Brown, since Ben got hurt, has seen his production go down from over 125 yards per game and averaging 10 receptions per game to averaging 4 receptions per game and a little over 43 yards per game in those two games that Vic has been under the helm. And of course, and someone said, I can't remember who it was on Twitter that I can't remember who it was, but they said, and I thought it was right on, hit the nail on the head. It's that the reason why the Steelers are so reluctant to pay Antonio Brown, give him the huge mega contract that like a top five wide receiver deserves, is because the Steelers know that Antonio Brown is a great wide receiver, but Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback makes him elite.
Yeah.
You can draw all the diagrams up, you can throw all the stats out there you want. But the fact is, Antonio Brown looks like a regular smaller receiver in the National Football League when Ben Roethlisberger's not playing. Because half of his receptions come off of timed routes and routes that they know and they do pre-snap communications at the line with. And when you have Michael Vick out there, you just don't have that same kind of chemistry. You don't have the same kind of connection. And you're relying on Antonio Brown's route running ability and Michael Vick's anticipation of the throw, which neither – Antonio Brown is a exceptional route runner, but – the routes that he runs are more built for timing patterns, and Mike Vick isn't a timing pattern throwing quarterback, I guess you could say.
And you see that with elite quarterbacks in the league. Tom Brady's done it time and time again, converted a backup receiver into all of a sudden a superstar.
Right.
Deion Branch was a Super Bowl MVP, and, I mean, where's he at now? He tried to go back to New England, didn't work out, but – and also Julian Edelman played quarterback in college, said he didn't even think about playing any other position.
Wes Welker, you could even argue.
Exactly, Wes Welker. I mean, he's done it time and time again. So Ben Roethlisberger, who is an elite quarterback in the league, arguably top five, has definitely done that with Antonio Brown, who was, a six-round draft pick?
Yep. Yeah.
And you look at guys like Mike Wallace, too. Like, Mike Wallace is a great receiver, but he was so much better when he was in Pittsburgh, and he hasn't been able to produce those numbers since he left.
And in my opinion, the only reason Emmanuel Sanders has been as successful because he plays with Peyton Manning now, who's an elite quarterback. Yep. So, really, he went from Pittsburgh to another one in Denver with Peyton Manning. So, that's really helped his production because he was, a second, third-round pick?
What
really wasn't.
Yep.
I mean, he's produced way more than what he was supposed to.
All right, let's just say I'm about to play another video,
all right,
but I'll pose another question. Roethlisberger comes back in 2 weeks. Let's say they split the next two games. They lose against the Cardinals and they win against the Chiefs. What would that be? Week 8 he would come back. Yeah. Week 8 he comes back and they are 4-3. What are their chances of the Super Bowl?
I think they're just as good as if he came back in 2 weeks. I think as long as you have the same team, as you have a healthy roster, you have a healthy defense, Le'Veon Bell, receiving core, everyone's there. I think you have the same chances. I think Pittsburgh is a team that no matter where they're going to seed in the playoffs, and they're not going to seed great. Like, you already have to know that going in. I think that it's not going to – whether they're a 4 or they're a 6 seed isn't going to necessarily affect how they get to the Super Bowl. I don't know if they will. I don't want to say that now because it's a long season. Mm-hmm. But I think that you have to consider the odds the same.
So you're talking about Ben Roethlisberger coming back this week compared to 2 weeks from now?
Yeah, let's just say he comes back in 2 weeks, and Mike Vick, they split the next two games.
And they're 4-3. I would keep him out regardless this week, and that would lead them – I'd keep him out the next two. And if they're sitting at 4-3, I think Arizona's a toss-up game anyway to where that could be a loss regardless of who starts. So if you're sitting at 4-3, playoffs is very likely at that point. Super Bowl, to get by New England, you have to go through Foxborough, which is that's very tough. Mm-hmm. Denver struggles late in the season in the past couple years. Peyton Manning isn't the same Peyton Manning as we've seen. So I really think that you could win first round. Cincinnati struggles in the playoffs. Or I should say Andy Dalton struggles in the playoffs.
That is well documented, yes. Andy Dalton still has yet to win a playoff game as an NFL quarterback.
Definitely I don't see them making the Super Bowl. But it's – who knows? If they get hot, like Sam said, if he thinks they could go 12-4 with a healthy Ben Roethlisberger right now. I mean, if they're 12-4, they're probably sitting close to the bye. If not, they're winning the division over Cincinnati. I don't think mm-hmm. Cincinnati will go 12-4. Then, I mean, it's not unheard of to go into Foxborough and win, but who knows? It's almost too early to tell. But if they're 4-3, I could definitely see a Super Bowl in the future. It's not unlikely.
I agree with Colin just said about it's too early to tell. You don't know how Ben's gonna come back too. If you think he's gonna come back and be a little like wimpy, I guess you can say, on his knee to prevent, because he's gonna be scared of getting another injury, tweaking it, being out, maybe missing a week, or having to like not play 100%, tweaking it, and weather gets colder, it gets more miserable outside.
I think that plays
a lot to do with it too.
I think it has. It's worth noting that he hurt his planting knee, not his front knee. Because mm-hmm. if it was his front knee, I'd have a lot more worries. Because someone can easily just dive hit right that. Into that front knee. But since
and
it's
the way
back
he
knee,
got hit,
yeah.
The guy came from behind, and that's how he got his back knee. Mm-hmm. And that's all not going to happen. It's going to happen less than it is more. That is a good point from Zach. But to answer the question, no, I don't think they're going to be national champions. If you guys
as Dr. A would say.
Shout
sports
out.
Sports management professor, Dr. A. And we had this discussion off before we came on air, so you don't probably understand it completely. Called them national champions instead of world champions. We can get into that another time because that's a good
that
talk. That
sounds good.
Because that's a good talk.
Super Bowl champions is what we'll call them.
I like that. Let's just stick
I
with
don't
that.
Think. I think they get to. I think the furthest they get is the conference championship.
Yeah, if they have to go through New England, it's they can't do it.
Well, I'll say one thing before I play the video real fast. They could very easily be 5-0 right now. It wasn't for a couple missed field goals and Darius Heyward-Bey not stepping out of bounds on a touchdown pass, they would have been five and zero right now.
And Chris Boswell, we trust.
Yeah, Chris Boswell. Oh,
he made that look real.
Yeah, we didn't talk about
it. Chris Boswell put on quite a first performance. Like I'm pretty sure that his first kick was 47 yards.
Longer than
his career was riding on that one kick, and he nailed it. It would have been good from 60 yards, as far as I'm concerned.
And they didn't send him out there for that 58-yarder.
Yeah.
Little disappointed they didn't. I understood why they didn't.
Yeah, you need confidence.
He seemed real confident. That kick was right down the middle. And
that's a good sign.
That's a good sign. It was right down the middle.
Steelers should feel confident about that.
I know it's not – like 47 yards for like us, it's long, but like for a kicker, it's not that long. But like your first ever is 3 yards less than 50.
After everything that's happened,
everything's
too.
Had pressures on him in his first
in
ever
Monday
NFL
night game.
Field. Monday night game.
Yeah, the reactions that Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger, all the Steelers players had after that kick went through was something
that's sad.
Something
get excited.
Something like compared to winning a
I couldn't
just
watch.
Winning the game basically. All right, so here's the video on Steelers Super Bowl chances.
Let's not forget Michael Vick. He didn't have a great game, but he did have that significant scramble.
Yeah, and it was important for Michael Vick. I think the Steelers for Vick to come away with a win. I mean, you see Tony Romo on the sidelines just trying to will the Cowboys to win while Brandon Whedon is playing. And so here's big Ben Roethlisberger, and everybody's talking about, well, he'll come back soon. He wants to play against Bruce Arians, his former offensive coordinator this week when the Arizona goes to Pittsburgh. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
I mean, to our knowledge, he has the bone bruise is still very painful. And, oh, by the way, the Steelers are quite cognizant of the fact that they are 2-4 when Ben Roethlisberger rushes back from injury
In his first game back.
He's 2-4, so they're not going to rush him back, certainly, to play this week, and I think even the following week will be questionable. That's why it was big for Michael Vick, for them to win a game with Michael Vick playing.
Whenever he gets back, they are a Super Bowl contender. That's a great defense. Le'Veon Bell, as I said, I could make an argument that he's the MVP of the league. They got great passing game with Ben there. They do not with Michael there, but with Ben there, they do. They're a bona fide challenger when he's back there.
So that was Bill Polian on NFL Insiders saying those very optimistic and somewhat ridiculous comments.
I love it.
I mean, it's open. Behind New England, I think it's open for anyone right now.
I think that if you look at what – I think what he said was the one thing that they said was really cool, the 2-4 Roethlisberger is his first game back after an injury.
That's big.
I think that's – That is a concern.
Him back and come back healthy.
But let's take this in context for a second. Would you rather have a healthy Michael Vick – or a 75% healthy Ben Roethlisberger? I'm going to take
depends who you're playing.
No. I'm going to take a 75%
yep,
Ben Roethlisberger
every time.
100 out of 100 times. Doesn't matter who they're playing. Doesn't matter where they're playing. Roethlisberger could be at 50%, and I'd play Roethlisberger over Michael Vick. I don't think that shouldn't even be a question. I don't even know why I asked. I honestly don't know why that
well, obviously, Ben's going to play 75%. If it comes down to win this game and you're in the playoffs, if they have to win, if you lose this game, you're out of playoffs.
I'm not putting Michael Vick
obviously
in.
Ben's going to play. Obviously, his doctors are going to probably be forced to let him play because they'll get pressured by the coaches, him and everything. But I don't know. I'm just a big advocate on don't rush back. Right now, I think it's okay to take your time a little bit. You're 1-1 with Vic. You're 3-2 overall. If they can get two more wins out of Vic, I think we're in good shape.
I do want to point out how important it is that they won this game because, you know, like they always talk about the percent chance of teams getting to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And a 3-2 team is 50% chance of making the playoffs, and a 2-3 team is 21%. I mean, I know that in the end, you know, you're the same team, you know, you're going to win those games, but that's huge. Mm-hmm. It really is. You can't undervalue how much that win meant, especially against a team like San Diego.
I think it's worth noting also that the Bengals have had a much easier schedule so far than the Steelers, and down the road that they have a similarly difficult closing out. They go at San Francisco. These are the last 3 weeks. They go at San Francisco, at Denver, and then home against the Ravens. So those three games are definitely not 100%. It's definitely not 100% that they'll win all these games. If you look at who they've beaten so far, the only teams that they've traveled on the road and beaten is Baltimore and Oakland. Oakland.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm Baltimore.
Baltimore's still a division game.
Is sneaky at what are they, 1-4 now?
1-4. And Baltimore fought them to the end.
Yeah.
Baltimore's had close games all year. It's not like they've.
Yeah. They're a better team than their record shows.
Yeah.
And they've played tough teams in Denver, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
I'm saying that, but they hosted Seattle, which everyone knows that Seattle is pedestrian at best on the road. They thrive at home, and of course the Steelers have to travel to Seattle to play them. And the Bengals took advantage of that opportunity, getting them at home, and they took care of business. And it didn't look that way early on, but they did.
Well, I mean, their kick bounced off the upright and went in. I mean, there's reports that say because of the Earth's rotation,
I did see that.
That's
that
why
was
it
fun.
Bounced in, like where the field was.
That.
Yeah,
I did not. Okay, switching topics before the end of the show, really quick. The Penguins are tied 2-2 in the third period with the Montreal Canadiens. Penguins 0-2 so far in the year. Only scored one goal before this game, and that was by newcomer Phil Kessel.
Who fired that. he's the, like, hardest – I don't know the hockey term. He's the hardest, like
– He hits a hard – like, it's a fast shot. Yeah? Yeah.
Hardest
– It's the
shooter,
fastest shot.
Shooter in the league.
Hardest
yeah.
shot, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Hey, I will say, though, beautiful goal by Bo Bennett to tie the game up 2-2. So.
Okay. Well, Bo Bennett. No one, I would not have thought Bo Bennett would actually score a goal.
You watch preseason.
All the girls
and he
in
was
Pittsburgh
the guy.
Go crazy.
Yeah, no, that's that's where you hear it.
Bo
you know.
Bennett.
But he's scoring goals.
Oh
that's all
gosh.
I care about.
Bo Bennett's bae.
Okay.
Man.
That's all
that,
the girls
that was too good. That was too good of an impression. We're gonna take that in context with the Super Clips thing. That
yeah, that's
before.
What I was thinking.
And I'm connecting the dots a little bit. Okay, anyway, the Penguins, seeing how they finished last year, seeing how they started this year, they struggled to score goals mightily last year. They struggled on defense. This year they're rolling with their young defenseman and Rob Scuderi, who they can't get rid of if they even tried. is clogging up their back line, to be quite honest with you. Rob Scuderi does not deserve to be on an NHL team at this point in his career. He's too old. He's not fast anymore. He can't handle the puck, and he's not physical enough anymore. But he's under contract, so they have to use him or face the cap hit, which they can't because they'd go over the
They're
cap.
They're saying line. Only Josh Scobie was a worse Pittsburgh athlete right now.
I kind of agree. For the short time that Josh Scobie graced us with his presence, he did not do it justice.
What about Jeff Decker from the Pirates? He's pretty bad.
I mean, he didn't really get his
He didn't get
shot,
a lot of time.
Though.
He's
I
a
mean,
bench player.
His name's just spelled
Pedro
weird. I can't
Florimond.
Get over that.
Well, it's a family thing.
Pedro Florimond.
Pedro Florimond. He won one game against Arizona. We were at, actually.
Yeah, we were at that game. And I said, if Pedro Florimond walks it off, I will run around this stadium naked,
but we
which
left
did not happen.
But we left before
because
that.
We left before it happened.
No
I
one wanted to stay that
anyway.
Game.
I probably wouldn't have done it anyway.
I mean,
would have retracted
know,
on that comment instantly as soon as it happened.
Now it's now we have it on radio. Like when this podcast goes up, like you can't say it never happened.
Yeah, I know, but I'm never going to do it. That's the point. It's never going to happen
unless you want to get arrested. But
do you have any season predictions for the Penguins?
Playoff team. Definitely.
Winning the division?
I don't.
Winning the Metro?
No.
No, not winning the Metro, but I think the Rangers do that again. But I'm still uncertain how far they're going to get. Some people have us in the second round. Some people have us in the cup. So some people have us – it's the first, the third game of the season. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say.
Yeah,
I definitely
season.
Think. Yeah, it is.
It's
82 game season.
Right.
So.
It's like after the Pirates got swept opening series against Cincinnati, everyone was
you don't,
saying, "Uh oh."
Yeah.
But
the
no
Pens.
One, but no one was saying like, "I guess."
In the
done.
Previous years, the Pens decreased as the season went on, and that showed in the playoffs. Now they're starting off a little slow. They're only right now. They're only 0-2. That's not bad, really. Maybe they'll get hot, and they'll be that team that gets hot end of the season. They'll always be a contender and then get hot, go into the playoffs, get the job done, get to the cup, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, their offense is expected to do big things this year, and I really – it's
they should,
it's 0-2. They're 0-2. It's not a big deal. It looks bad, but it's 0-2.
And only that one goal, too, which makes it
exactly.
Bad.
But, I mean, they'll – I think they have a shot to finish second or third in the Metro. Do I see them winning it? No. But really, I expect a quality season for the Penguins, especially if they remain healthy and the offense does what it's supposed to do.
I think I'm going to just make a bold statement like I did with the Steelers.
Yeah, and like you did with the Pirates, and like you did with the Pirates, and like he did with the Pirates. And I was the only one to say that the Cubs won. Go ahead.
So yeah, be realistic.
Record.
All right, so I'm going to say that the Pittsburgh Penguins end up having the best first line in hockey with Kessel, Malkin, and Crosby. I think that they will...
You realize that Malkin doesn't play on the line, though, right?
My bad.
Right now, they're rolling out Kessel with Crosby and Kunitz. Kunitz does not deserve to be on the top line. Should be Perron, maybe. Hornquist plays left wing, but he could play right, but...
Hockey's not my sport, but I
agree with the best top line in hockey. It should be that way when you have two of the top players in the world on the same line.
Yeah, I mean, it should be interesting. I think you could see Phil Kessel kind of be like A.J. Burnett was, you know, where he gets out of a tough situation where he was and really kind of steps up and makes a big play.
He already has.
Yeah, exactly. And once again, the season's early. We'll see if that continues. But I think that's going to be good for the Penguins. I think they'll be a 6 or a 5 seed. They'll get past the first round because that's usually been their – struggled the last couple years, But I overall don't think that they'll have a chance at the Stanley Cup this year.
From what I've seen so far, what I've seen last year, all the problems remain with this team in that they can't get space on the ice for Crosby to shoot, and Crosby continues to try and press and not shoot but pass. No matter where the opportunity, how many opportunities he gets to shoot the puck, he continues to try and force feed his line mates the puck, which the year that he won the Rocket Richard was the year that the Penguins made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they got swept by Boston. But the point is, he shot at a very high percentage, and he got most of his goals that way. And I think if they continue, and if he goes back to that, and he wins an Art Ross Trophy, he wins in a Rocket Richard, then it'll take pressure off of Malkin, it'll take pressure off of Kessel, and everything, it'll be a trickle-down effect, I think will happen. I don't see that happening, though, because Crosby just refuses to shoot the puck anymore. You can see that for the first couple games that they've had so far.
And they're down 3-2 now.
They are down 3-2. Oh,
10
good.
10 minutes in the third period.
Good, good.
So we won.
But Thomas Greiss is in net, so it's not... If Fleury was in net, I bet it would be still 2-2. Yeah. I feel like Fleury is one of the top goalies in the NHL. But regardless, my prediction would be because of the youth at defense, I think this team is going to grow over the season. If they can figure out, this is a big if, but if they can figure out how to get Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, the room that they need, and they can get in the youth on the defense grows, and they get rid of Rob Scuderi somehow, I can see them making a deep playoff run. That's a big if.
Yeah.
I do think that they're going to win over 50 games this year in the regular season. But, again, big if they can handle, if they can figure out the scoring, figure out how to get Crosby, Malkin, their space on the ice, and figure out the power play, that's a big deal.
The 3-on-3 overtime, too. Like, that's something new that you're going to have to really figure that one out.
Yeah, that I think the more that they get into those kind of situations, the more they'll thrive because that's when the skilled players really – come out and
yeah, you're getting the
show
and
show
shoot.
What yeah and show what they can do, and I think that the Penguins are definitely top heavy in that, so they will be able to show off their talents that way. That's all the time we have tonight on Sports Talk in the Berg. Very interesting show with sport clips and very very oddly
I
accurate.
Said that's what the girls would say.
Very oddly accurate impersonation.
That's what the girls would say.
All right.
I'm just worried for you.
We'll stop. We'll stop teasing you. From Zach Lauffer, Sam Anthony Yankus, Colin Wilson, this has been Sports Talk in the Berg on Army Radio, your campus, your voice.
This is Joe Hale, television engineer at the Academic Media Center at Robert Morris University. You are listening to RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beauty focus, EOU. Ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. My acres of a land, I've achieved.